Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great estate plans. My name is Tim Seckler. I am a certified elder law attorney. I own a law firm in Cranberry Township, and we do this radio show every single week to get you the information you need in order to make good estate planning decisions. One of the things that I believe, that my law firm believes, is that educated decisions are better decisions, right? That's one of our core tenets around here. Educated decisions are better decisions. And so we do a lot of educating. We have weekly workshops. I do this radio show. You can check out the YouTube channel. My philosophy is we tell a lot of people information that they would otherwise be paying a lawyer to learn, because I want you to make good decisions whether you decide to work with my law firm or someone else's law firm. I'm going to empower you with the things you need to know and the questions you need to be asking to take care of your family the right way. Now, remember, this radio show is for your education and for your information. This is not legal advice. I don't know you. You are not yet my client. I'd love to have you as a client. But what I'm trying to do is notify you of some things that you need to be aware of. And if you decide to work with our law firm, great. If you decide to work with somebody else's law firm, great. Do so with the information in front of you. And what I want to talk about today is a problem that we have in this industry regarding trusts. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit. I'm a big proponent of trusts. We use trusts with pretty much every client in some fashion or another. There's trusts that are built into wills. There's trusts that you have during your life. There's lots of different types of trusts, right? But a lot of them don't work, and everybody knows it. So why don't they work? Well, here's the thing. Trusts, when you set up a trust, you can think about it kind of like this. It's not technically this, but you can think about it kind of like this. You're kind of creating a new legal entity. You're creating a trust that is going to own some property. And for the trust to work as it's designed, it has to own that property, okay? And the process of getting your stuff into the trust, that process is called trust funding. And the problem is lots of trusts are out there are unfunded. But let's take a step back, okay? Why are we using trusts in the first place? Well, I want you to understand there's a number of different types of trusts out there in the world. There are revocable trusts. There are irrevocable trusts. And when you get into irrevocable trusts, there's all types of categories of irrevocable trusts. There's life insurance trusts. There's charitable trusts. There's trusts that we use for nursing home asset protection. There's trusts that you might need to use for income tax planning. There's lots of types of trusts. But in order for a trust to work, it has to own some stuff. And unfortunately, most law firms don't fund trusts. So I want to get into why I think that is, in why we do things a little bit differently, and I'm going to explain how we do things a little bit differently, because I imagine there's somebody listening to this show right now that is saying to themselves right now, you know, we're 3 minutes into the radio show, somebody's saying, I don't know if my trust is funded, right? So let's talk about it. Let's consider a revocable trust, for example. Lots of law firms will tell you a revocable living trust is a good idea, because a revocable living trust is a good idea. It gives you a management vehicle to manage your assets during your life, makes it a little easier for post-death administration and distribution when you pass away, tend to save some money, tend to save some headache, is appropriate when kids are living out of town. There's lots of good reasons to consider a revocable living trust. But if you have a revocable living trust, maybe you already have a revocable trust. Great. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what's in it? Do you know if anything is in it? Do you know if the right things are in it? Because those questions matter a lot. If you don't have anything in the trust, it's not doing anything. If you don't have the right stuff in the trust, it's not doing the right things. So these documents, these tools, these trusts, they're designed to accomplish a certain task, right? A certain objective. They're just tools. You know, people ask me sometimes, is a will better than a trust? And it's like asking a question, is a hammer better than a screwdriver, right? It depends what you want to accomplish. I find trust to be useful for lots of things. Asset protection, tax planning, protecting the kids from their potential future divorces and whatnot. Like, there's lots of reasons to consider working trust into the estate plan. But you got to first become educated on it, which is why we host our workshops. You can go to secularlawfirm.com and find the workshops. We host them at this point about once a week, somewhere around the greater Pittsburgh region. We're having an estate planning workshop. It's called The Three Secrets to Protect Your Legacy. And That talk is introductory level, free workshop that we offer where you get to learn wills versus trust, taxes, some long-term care stuff, how to protect your family from those issues. All right, so let's say somebody goes to a law firm, they have a trust. Maybe you went to a law firm 15 years ago and you gave a trust. And then now it's time to maybe reconsider the thing. It's time to at least look at it and see if it owns anything. But why do so many firms not fund the trust? And the answer is because it requires some work, retitling accounts, right? So let's just walk through this. You hire a law firm for a trust. Law firms that do trust typically quote on a flat fee, but maybe it's an hourly. But anyway, you've paid some money for the trust. And what you thought you were buying was this document, right? And the reason that you think that way is that the way that most law firms operate is what we call transactional law. In law school, they talk about estate planning in other practice areas like real estate closings and different things that are sort of direct to consumer as transactional law, meaning the consumer hires a lawyer to do a thing, the lawyer does the thing, and the consumer pays the lawyer. And once the thing is done, that's the end of the transaction. That's the end of the relationship between the client and the lawyer, right? And so people hire lawyers to create trust, but most lawyers don't include in that initial fee agreement, we will also do the work necessary to fund the trust once you have it, right? And so you do the trust, and maybe you agree to spend several thousand dollars on a trust. Now you have a trust. Great. You got a good tool. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt that they wrote a good one, right? So you got a good tool. All right. And then you say, well, what am I going to put in it? And the lawyer says, well, you got to go to the bank and ask them that question. Or you got to go to your financial advisor and tell them I said to put this account into the trust. But then you go to the financial advisor and they don't really know what you're asking them to do. Or maybe they don't understand the trust. Or more than likely, you forgot to go to the financial advisor's office and ask them to put the money into the trust. And so what happens is the lawyer completes a transaction for you. You now have your trust. They pat you on the back and say, on your merry way, transaction is over because I got to go get another transaction now. There's another client that wants a trust, and now I'm going to go write that person's trust. Never mind the fact that you never funded your trust. Oh, but by the way, here's a letter. It's a letter from me to you telling you that you need to go fund your trust, and you're going to sign it, and I'm going to sign it, and we just agreed that you are going to go fund your trust, but then in all likelihood, you probably forgot to do so, or you got confused or frustrated by the process and you didn't do it. You know what they call that in legal circles? You know, I go to these conferences and there's just things that come across. Lawyers call that a CYA letter. You know what CYA stands for, right? Well, let me ask you a question. They gave you a letter that says you need to go fund your trust. They at least need to recognize there's a possibility that you're not going to understand how to do that and you're not going to do it. And so they give you a CYA letter. Well, who's A are we seeing here, right? Because it seems to me like they're not covering the client's backside. They're covering their own. So that the family in the future can't come back and say, hey, well, you know, they got this trust and it's not funded. Well, we gave your mom a letter. She didn't do it, you know? And I'll tell you, there's been years in the past when I first started doing this and I was starting to understand how to run a law firm and how to do this, where I was the bad guy. I used to do it, right? Because that's the way I was trained to do it from the powers that be, from the gurus and all the rest that I went to go learn how to run a practice. And over some time, I realized that's not the right way to do it. We need to fund these trusts, right? Now, I'm proud to say that our law firm actually funds trusts. So how does it work? Well, you know, we have this philosophy. One is that you are not a transaction, right? When we engage with our legal clients, our relationship does not end with our clients when they get their documents. We offer them to continue working with us, not at full legal billable rates. It's something much less. We offer an ongoing membership program that we call our Red Wagon Club. The Red Wagon Club, we continue to deliver service, and we have some fun together. We have in the greater Pittsburgh region, there's several hundred families get together on a regular basis to have some fun or to learn some stuff. And it's called the Red Wagon Club. And one of the first things that we do is after you've signed your documents, you join the Red Wagon Club. you get a meeting with our funding coordinator. We have a full-time employee whose job it is to fund trusts, right? And so the funding coordinator talks to you about what you want to do. She helps you fill out the paperwork. Then we have a group class where you come in, you ask some questions about funding, you can sign some documents in the presence of a notary and all the rest. And we've got this process designed to help you fund your trust, because you're not a transaction to us. You're a relationship. I want your estate plan to work today, and I want your estate plan to work tomorrow too. And you're not alone. One of our core tenets is you're not alone. If you need some help, give us a call. You know, we don't expect that you know how to fill out the complicated financial forms, but we do. So give us a call. You're not alone on this. Now I can't fill it out for you. Boy, I wish I could just go and call the financial advisor and tell them to move your money around on yourself, but you don't want a lawyer to have that kind of authority. You don't want me to be able to move your money around for you. You got to be in control of that, but we guide you along the way. And so one of the things with the Red Wagon Club is we have this funding process that we created to make sure that our members' trusts are actually funded, right? But that's not the end of the story either, right? Because, okay, so now we got the trust. You got a good estate plan. It actually has the stuff in it. So the estate plan is designed to work, right, today. But my experience has been, and your experience has probably been, that life changes. Your goals are going to change. For sure, the laws are going to change. Tax environment is going to change. Things are going to change. And what an estate plan is and is not, an estate plan is not a one-time thing. You don't just do it and throw it on a shelf and forget about it for the next 15 years, because life changes, right? And so within our Red Wagon Club, one of the things that we do is we have regular events. We have our own education center with my law firm where we have events all the time. So just this past week, we had an event on tax. So I stood in front of a group of our members and I talked about income tax and some things you need to know regarding income taxes this year. We talked about death taxes, federal state tax, Pennsylvania inheritance tax. I talked to them about capital gains taxes. We talked about Secure Act, because I know, you know, in going through our process, we cover all those things, but it's complicated stuff. And I know it's perishable, right? I know that my clients, I'll teach them once and they forget it. And so we got to talk about it on a regular basis so that they remember how the heck this stuff works. And so we have a monthly class where we do some legal technical education. We've got a mechanism to update documents whenever you want to update the documents. We have a review workshop. We invite our clients to come back once a year. You know, here's been my experience. We do a fair amount of estate planning. You know, we've got a good sized law firm doing estate planning, and we do a lot of plans, right? But let's wrestle with the fact that this stuff can be complicated. Yep. And so, but by the time, you know, we teach you all about it. We run you through a series of workshops. You get a great estate plan. You understand it. And then we offer you the ongoing education. But if you don't take us up on that, if I see you at the hardware store in 18 months and I say, hey, why don't you explain to me the estate plan that we did for you? How many of my clients do you think can really understand the nuances of their estate plan 18 months later? And the reality is not very many, right? And so what we do on the anniversary month of when you signed your estate plan, we invite you to come to a review workshop. Hey, happy anniversary. It has been a year. You probably forgot some of the stuff that we did. Maybe the law has changed. Maybe your goals have changed. So why don't you come in for this seminar that we're going to do with only our existing clients in it who need refreshed on what we did, and maybe you want to make some updates to your documents based on what we teach here, based upon what's going on in your world. And then we update the documents. And so, you know, we've got this process hammered out where we form relationships with our clients. We offer a lot of classes, ongoing stuff, even after you've got your estate plan. We've offered classes on what happens if you get into a car accident, how to choose appropriate long-term care insurance, how to choose appropriate homeowners insurance, though we don't sell any of that stuff. It's important stuff. And so if it's estate planning, or if it's tangentially related to estate planning, we're often teaching our clients about that stuff because I want the plan to actually work. One of the other things that we do within the Red Wagon Club, and listen, if any of this stuff sounds like interesting to you, come to one of our free workshops. Check us out. Try us on. Even if you don't hire us, come to the workshop. It's called The Three Secrets to Protect Your Legacy. I promise you we're going to teach you some things about the law you don't understand already, things about taxes and how to protect your house from things like long-term care expenses and how to plan to get care on your terms, not their terms. We're going to teach you that stuff in the workshop. Then you can decide whether or not you want to engage our law firm, which is which is a process we'll explain, but it's a series of classes. We don't do these high-pressure sales meetings one-on-one. It's you go through the program, you understand your options, you make some decisions. Then you can decide if you want to keep working with us on these things. Now, one of the other problems that I see out there is, you know, lots of times mom and dad will do an estate plan, and mom and dad name adult child to be the executor, or they'll name the adult child to be the trustee, depending on what their estate plan is, right? When does the kid find out that he's the executor? Usually at the funeral, right? Sometimes people communicate this ahead of time, but the kids, even if it's communicated that you will hold this title in the future, the kid says, okay, mom, I got you. But they have no idea what that means, right? And so one of the things that we do for our members is we host regular classes. We call it our trustee workshop. And the actual title of the presentation itself is Know Your Role, right? This is a class for our clients' children to understand that when life throws mom a curveball in the future, she gets sick, she passes away, you've been named in some documents, and here's what that means, right? Here is what it means to be a trustee. Here is what it means to be an agent under a power of attorney. And if your mom is so inclined, she can share the documents with you and you can read those documents. But this is the role you're being asked to take. So one, do you agree to take the role now that you're a little bit more informed? You know, and the whole idea here is you could hand me Mike Tomlin's playbook. That doesn't make me a football coach, right? He knows the game. I don't know the game that well. I mean, I know the game, but I'm not an NFL coach. So why would we hand our clients' children some playbook without explaining the rules of the game? Look, here's a trustee. Congratulations, you're a trustee. But what do I do? Well, I don't know. Do trustee stuff. Well, what does that mean? It means go do trustee stuff, right? No, we've got to teach the adult children the rules of the game. Here's what a revocable living trust is. Here's the types of assets it typically holds. Here's how you administer the thing when mom gets sick or passes away. Here's what an irrevocable trust is. If mom gets sick or passes away, here's what you're going to be asked to do, and this is why you have the authority to do it. And here's the way the game is played. Let's teach them the game. It seems to me that if the idea is to win the game, we had better know the rules of it. And so we teach our clients' adult children. It's one of our most popular things. And we actually do this one as a webinar because so many of our clients' kids live out of town that we can't do it just in person at our event center. We have to do it on the webinar. We also have some other classes on how to get care on your terms. We have a workshop that we call Aging with Assurance. We teach the difference between an independent living facility, a personal care home, a skilled nursing facility, because one of the things I believe is that life planning is greater than death planning, right? I mean, you know, consider the document called the living will, right? Most estate plans come with a living will. We do living wills in our documents, in our set of documents. But what's a living will really? They call it a living will. That's a cute name for a document that's all about passing away, right? I mean, a living will is a document that says essentially to your kids when they should pull the plug, right? Well, how many times do we do that? We do it once. How many times do you take a bath? How many times do you eat? If you're in a personal care home and the people that are serving you food, you know, they don't know you any more than they know the guy in the room across the hall. You know, one of the things about me, I don't like pickles. You know, I've got a pretty broad food palate, but for whatever reason, I just don't like pickles. If the pickle touches the French fry on my plate, I don't eat the French fry. Like, I don't like pickles. And I've got this fear of being in a personal care home in my later years, and the person that's taking care of me keeps putting pickles on my plate. And now I'm not eating anything because I don't like pickle juice, and now it's all over my plate. And wouldn't it be helpful before I got dementia if I did a document that is called About Me? And we have a workshop where we teach people this document that's called About Me. Here's a few things about me. Here's my religious preferences. Here's food I like. Here's food I don't like. Here is my interests. For me personally, I'm a sportsman. I like to hunt. I like to fish. If you give me a magazine that has pictures of some trout in it, I'm probably going to be pretty happy. If I'm in a bad mood and you give me a magazine and I get to flip through and look at the pictures of the trout, it's probably going to put me in a better mood. And wouldn't it be important for the people taking care of me to know things like that about me? And so, so from my standpoint, estate planning when done properly is It's a process. It's not a transaction. It's a relationship. It's not a transaction. And that's why we have now over 300 families that agree, and they're members of the Red Wagon Club, and we continue to talk about these things, and we continue to teach these things, and we have some fun, right? So I want to tell you about some of the fun things that we've done. We've recently invited our clients, our members, to an event at the National Aviary. We had a speaker named Jennifer Ann Kobiak, who used to be on the news. If you're in Pittsburgh, you know who Jennifer is. She now has a new company called Take Care Tips, which is a fantastic idea where she's teaching people, particularly caregivers of others, how to take care of yourself too. And it's a great concept, and she's got a great thing going. And we invited her to come and be a speaker at the Red Wagon Club event. She made an offer to our clients that was very generous of her. And now, you know, we've got this sort of thing going. So we had a lot of fun at the Aviary this coming week. We're watching an eclipse together. And, you know, it's just things like that. It's a community of like-minded people who enjoy each other's company, have a lot in common from a demographic standpoint, have a lot in common from a social standpoint, live in the same city, generally the same financial category, and they like to get together. And it's been a really neat thing. So we have fun stuff, we have educational stuff, and all the while our real purpose is to make sure that, one, we're protecting your money. Two, we're protecting your family. We're teaching your family. We're making an estate plan that that honors your life. You know, we have offerings to help you tell your story, your professional story, what it was like raising kids, what it was like being a kid. You know, tell those stories to your great-grandkids. Why aren't we doing this? You know, and so that's a bit about the Red Wagon Club. The Red Wagon Club, you're welcome to join after you become one of our estate planning clients. And so if you would like to learn more about what we're all about, please come to one of our workshops. We have it pretty frequently. Go to SechlerLawFirm.com. My last name is spelled S-E-C-H-L-E-R, SechlerLawFirm.com. There you can register for one of our upcoming Three Secrets workshops, learn all about the estate planning stuff we do, learn a little bit about the Red Wagon Club, and just generally try us on for size, you know, or the way that we do this stuff. Is it a thing that you're interested in doing? Is the way that we protect assets a thing you're interested in doing? Is the relationship that we have with our clients a relationship that you would like to have with a law firm? And if we check all those boxes, then feel free to hire us. If we don't, if for some reason you think that the transactional model would be better for you, that's great. I want you to have all your options. We believe that educated decisions are better decisions, and that's why we do what we do. Now, I do want to do just a brief mention of a client who came into our office last week and had a very common misconception. We were able to help her out with this. So our new client is in her senior years. Her husband needs long-term care. She has been trying to keep him at home, much to her credit, for as long as possible. But the reality of the situation is he probably needs some care in a nursing home. And now her health is starting to be impacted. And there's two reasons she's been doing her best to keep him at home. One is, you know, we would all prefer to be at home. I mean, plan A is never go to a nursing home, right? So the preference was we want to stay at home as long as possible. That's wonderful. But it's looking like that's no longer possible. The second reason why she is keeping him at home as long as she has, again, to her credit, is because nursing homes are expensive. It's common in Pennsylvania for nursing homes to exceed $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 a month, right? Well, most families can't handle that. And so we met her at an event, sat down with her. We were able to show her how there's a strategy available for her family where her husband can get the care that he really needs. He can go to a nursing home, get the care that he really needs, take the stress off of her back of being the full-time caregiver, and we were able to show her a route on how to gain eligibility for Medicaid benefits without going broke. And so now her husband is going to get the care that he needs. She's going to get a break from the full-on 24-hour-a-day caregiver role that she's been in that's impacting her health, and they're going to do it in a way that we get to save her enough money for the remainder of her retirement. And the reason I wanted to mention this is because we find one of these families from time to time where they would consider more care for a loved one, care that the loved one actually needs, if they could figure out a way that they could get that care without going out of pocket $12,000 a month. And it's a terrible position that the government puts our seniors in, is that the wife here has to make a decision between her husband's care needs and her ability to maintain her retirement years. And my message, if you are that family, or if your parents are that family, that there are options available to you. We have a social worker on our staff who's going to help this family find the care they need. Our lawyers are going to help protect the money that she needs. And we're going to be able to help this family really put them in a better position for the rest of her days. And so if that's important to you, you should give us a call, 724-841-1393. I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. Remember, folks, this is for your education and information. This is not legal advice. If you need legal advice, you should talk to a lawyer. We're available anytime at secularlawfirm.com. Thanks for listening.